Sci in the World. I'm John Batch with Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. There's news from Korea. It's democratic news. There's been an election in the parliament. The opposition, called the Liberal Party, has gained nearly 200 seats. There are more than 300 in the parliament. The party associated with the president, President Yoon, has a little more than 100. There are some splinter parties. What does it all mean? Gordon Chang's here with me, and we're very pleased we have somebody to ask that question, because this is a parliamentary system with a president, and that is not an easy, successful fit, if I understand. However, Greg Scarlato, director of the Committee for Human Rights in North Korea. Greg, a very good evening to you. I remind all of us the famous phrase from a Russian speaker: the only trouble with democracy is that it's unpredictable. What does this mean to have a parliament that goes one way and a president who is another way? Good evening to you.
And a very good evening to you, John and Gordon. It simply means that South Korean democracy is noisy and healthy. That's how we like them, noisy. And of course, perhaps the result is a little bit different from previous expectations. Everyone had expected the DP, the progressive side of the South Korean political spectrum, to hold on to its majority in the National Assembly, but lose a few seats. Everyone had expected the PPP, the People's Power Party, perhaps to gain a few seats. Well, it turns out that the Conservative Party, the President Yoon's party, has lost some seats. The DP has gained some seats. Now, what does this all mean? This is a unicameral parliament, 300 seats. And basically, once you reach the magic number, 200, you have a supermajority. They're close, but the DP probably will not be over 200. However, there are these splinter parties, and many of them are ideologically aligned with the progressive side of the South Korean spectrum with the Democratic Party. So what would happen if they had a supermajority of 200 out of 300 seats? Now, of course, the Constitution of the Republic of Korea, this is the Constitution of the Sixth Republic, gives the president a very strong role. The president can introduce bills, has extensive powers in case of an emergency. However, a supermajority of the National Assembly may proceed with impeachment of the president. And this is what happened to President Park Geun-hye previously in December 2016. Judicial power in South Korea is held by the Supreme Court and the Constitutional Court. If they uphold the impeachment, this may spell trouble for President Yoon Suk-yeol. I'm not saying that he's going to get impeached. We have to be patient. But just like elsewhere, politics is a blood sport in South Korea. And I think that we once again have proof that South Korea is teetering on the brink of an ideological civil war.
Gordon, I have a question for Greg.
Greg, generally what we have seen in South Korea is a very evenly divided electorate between the progressives and the conservatives, and that essentially they switch the presidency every time, though that's not always been the case. But essentially there is this system where you have a country that can't make up its mind. Is that what happened in this National Assembly election, that basically they decided that it was time to throw out the bum, and you know they will do that again the next time as they've done it in the past? Or is there something new here?
Several things have happened. First and foremost, President Yoon has lost some support within the core of his political power base. That is the Gyeongsang province in southeastern South Korea. Politics continues to be regional in South Korea. Why has he lost support? Because remember, he was responsible for putting former President Park Geun-hye in prison at the time. So there are conservatives within the core who don't really regard him as a true conservative. Moreover, being from a certain region no longer guarantees that one's political option will go a certain way. Young people in South Korea have different concerns. They're concerned that recent college graduates have trouble finding desirable jobs. They're concerned about the economy. There was a recent instance of a crisis that shouldn't have happened, quite frankly, ahead of the elections. President Yoon's administration decided to proceed with measures to increase the number of students admitted to medical school. The rationale behind this is reasonable. South Korea has a dramatically aging population. You need to prepare more doctors to be ready to look after an aging population. However, doctors went on strike. I have a friend whose husband, age 60, just died of brain cancer last week. And yes, he, before passing away, and the family blamed this whole thing on not having access to the proper care, to the strike. And ultimately, they blamed it on these attempted measures that frankly made sense but could have waited. So again, an aging population will be very important in the outcome, in determining the outcome of future South Korean elections. Of course, so far, older people have tended to vote, as we know, conservative. However, you know, if this baby boomer generation of South Korea, as it comes of age, will it become more or less risk averse? Probably less risk averse. Will they be more keen on economic issues? How about China? How about the relationship with China? Progressives are already under suspicion of being keen on getting closer to China and perhaps a bit lax in their commitment to U.S.-South Korea relations. We'll have to see how this plays out.
National security. The conversation between Kishida of Japan and Yoon of South Korea took place last year with Mr. Biden present. That, since then, there's been no particular earthquake in Asia. The conversation between Seoul and Tokyo has continued at lower levels. All that is a positive from outside. Is it a positive inside? Is that a factor in this election?
It is certainly a positive, and President Yoon's foreign policy has been quite successful. And of course, tripartite coordination, warming relations with Japan, the Camp David Accord, that was, as far as I know, the result of a South Korean proactive approach to tripartite coordination. These are all positives. Did this move votes in South Korea? I don't think so. Not really. Not to a very significant extent. Why is the colonial past such a big deal in South Korea? Well, in the early 1990s, as South Korean civil society was beginning to take shape, it so happened that one of the top issues was reconciling with the colonial past, and thus these groups preoccupied with war crimes, wartime sexual slavery, and so on and so forth, have moved toward the core of the progressive support base. So while these are reasonable foreign policy measures, of course, rapprochement with Japan can be played up by the other side, by progressive politicians, and used to muster even further support within their base.
Gordon, you have a question.
Was North Korea a factor in the elections?
Not to a decisive degree, no. South Koreans, of course, continue to be concerned about North Korea, but we haven't really seen significant movement on North Korea issues. I mean, apart from, you know, good measures to enhance the importance and emphasize the importance of the U.S.-South Korea alliance, tripartite coordination, the importance of deterrence and containment, and yes, the importance of human rights in North Korea. This government of President Yoon has done very good things. for example, by including North Korean refugees brutalized and forcibly repatriated by China in their universal periodic review report on China, something that had never been done before. They've been very bold, but I don't think that the South Korean voters saw the need for any kind of dramatic change in North Korea policy one way or another as a determining factor when they went to the polls.
Greg Scarlato is director of the Committee for Human Rights in North Korea. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.